Tracking the transition from sublexical to lexical processing. On the creation of orthographic and phonological lexical representations. Written by Aaron Maloney, Evan F. Risco, Shannon O'Malley, and Derek Besner, University of Waterloo. Published in the Quarterly Journal of Experimental Psychology in 2009, Volume 62, Edition 5, pages 858 to 867. Abstract. Participants read aloud non-word letter strings, one at a time, which varied in the number of letters. The standard result is observed in two experiments. The time to begin reading aloud increases as letter length increases. This result is standardly understood as reflecting the operation of a serial left-to-right translation of graphemes into phonemes. The novel result is that the effect of letter length is statistically eliminated by a small number of repetitions. This elimination suggests that these non-words are no longer always being read aloud via a serial left-to-right sublexical process. Instead, the data are taken as evidence that new orthographic and phonological lexical entries have been created for these non-words and are now read at least sometimes by recourse to the lexical route. Experiment 2 replicates the interaction between non-word letter length and repetition observed in Experiment 1, and also demonstrates that this interaction is not seen when participants merely classify the string as appearing in upper or lower case. Implications for existing dual-route models of reading aloud and Scher's self-teaching hypothesis are discussed. Introduction. Treisman, 1961, introduced the concept of a mental dictionary, the lexicon, with individual dictionary units, lexical entries, representing words. This lexicon was thought of as a mental store of all words known to the individual and has become a central component of various computational and non-computational models of visual word recognition and reading aloud. For example, Coulthart, Russell, Perry, Langdon, and Zeigler, 2001, McClellan and Rumelhart, 1981, Morton, 1969, Perry, Zeigler, and Zorzi, 2007. Despite the presence of multiple lexicons, orthographic and phonological, in such models, relatively little attention has been paid to the issue of how a letter string becomes part of a lexicon, in contrast to the amount of research devoted to other issues in the context of these models. But see Bowers and Makeda, 1998, Scher, 1995. The present experiments report a novel approach to determining how a letter string comes to be represented in both the orthographic input and phonological output lexicons. Dual route accounts of reading aloud. Coulthart and colleagues, 2001, dual route cascaded DRC model of visual word recognition and reading accounts for a wide variety of reading related behaviors. The DRC model is dual route in that it generates a phonological code from print by recourse to lexical and non-lexical routines. The lexical route consists of an orthographic lexicon and a phonological lexicon. The orthographic lexicon contains a single node for each uniquely spelled word that the model knows. Similarly, the phonological lexicon contains a single node for each uniquely sounded word that the model knows. Letter units activate words in the orthographic lexicon. Activation in the orthographic lexicon feeds back to the letter level and forward to the phonological lexicon. Activation from the phonological lexicon feeds back to the orthographic lexicon and forward to the phoneme system. The lexical route can read aloud all the words it knows and is required to correctly read aloud words that do not follow the typical spelling to sound rules, exception words such as pint. The non-lexical route translates print into sound sublexically via a set of grapheme, phoneme, correspondence rules applied left to right, one letter at a time. This route produces a correct pronunciation for words that follow typical spelling to sound rules regular words such as mint and is required to read non-words, for example, frain, aloud. Coulthard and colleagues 2001 explicitly note that in DRC, letter strings that must be read via the serial non-lexical routine, i.e. non-words, yield a letter length effect in which longer strings take more time to read aloud. Coulthard and colleagues also note that in DRC, the time to start reading monosyllabic words aloud is unaffected as letter length increases when the lexical route generates a pronunciation, given that letter identification occurs in parallel. We are aware of the reports by New, Ferrand, Palier, and Breesbert, 2006, and Belota et al., 2007, that response time increases as letter length increases. However, in the former case, the task is lexical decision, and the increase in response time as letter length increases does not appear before the word is 7 letters long. Our experiment concentrates on letter strings that vary between 3 to 6 letters. Belota et al. Report a letter length effect when reading words aloud, but many of their stimuli are multisyllabic, known to affect reading aloud times, and longer than 6 letters. A second model is the Connectionist Dual Process Model, CDP+, which also has a serial processing non-lexical route. Perry et al. Also explicitly note that CDP+ produces an effect of letter length in the context of reading non-words aloud, but not monosyllabic words. See also Perry and Ziegler, 2002. We do not discuss PDP models here given that no currently implemented one produces a letter length effect during reading aloud. There is both broad and deep evidence for a serial non-lexical process. See Russell and Coulthard's 2006 review. For example, Weeks, 1997, using a set of monosyllabic items ranging from 3 to 6 letters, reported that the time it takes to begin pronouncing a monosyllabic non-word increases as letter length increases. See also Perry and Ziegler, 2002. Other well-established phenomena consistent with this account include the position of irregularity effect, the position of bivalent effect, the position-sensitive Stroop effect, the exaggerated letter length effect in surface dyslexia, the whammy effect, and the onset effect observed in masked form priming. See Russell and Coulthard's 2006 review. The letter length effect. Although neither DRC nor CDP+ consider how lexical entries are acquired, in both cases, it is not difficult to see how the formation of such entries can be indexed. Specifically, according to both of these accounts, if a letter string does not have entries in both the orthographic and phonological lexicons, it must be read aloud via the sublexical route, which will result in a letter length effect because this process is serial and left to right and must be completed before an articulation starts. If a letter string does have lexical entries in the orthographic and phonological lexicons, it can be read aloud via the lexical route and hence need not yield a letter length effect. It is important to note that if a word does have lexical representations, it can still be read sublexically and thus can still show a letter length effect. However, for a word to be read lexically, it must have representations in the orthographic input lexicon and phonological output lexicon. Thus, the absence of a letter length effect when reading aloud provides a plausible index of the existence and use of lexical entries, at least in the case of short 3 to 6 letter monosyllabic strings. The self-teaching hypothesis. Scher, 1995, proposed that the application of sublexical spelling-to-sound correspondences when reading functions as a self-teaching mechanism that enables the reader to learn word-specific print-to-sound associations. Repeated reading of a non-word should thus quickly lead to the formation of item-specific print-to-sound associations that bypass serial sublexical processing. Here we consider the joint effects of letter length and non-word repetition. A reduction in the effect of letter length as a function of non-word repetition would be consistent with Scher's hypothesis. Experiment 1. Participants read aloud a set of monosyllabic non-words that were repeated 4 times. A set of non-words were used that are known to produce a letter length effect on their first presentation in skilled readers. The item set from Weeks, 1997, and to also produce a letter length effect in both DRC and CDP+. See Coulthart et al., 2001, Perry et al., 2007. If repetition leads to the formation of lexical entries in both the orthographic and the phonological lexicons, then the effect of letter length should get smaller as the number of blocks, repetitions, increases, because reading via the lexical route is independent of letter length, at least for monosyllabic items 3 to 6 letters long. If repetition does not lead to the formation of lexical entries, then the effect of letter length should remain constant as the number of blocks, repetitions, increases, because reading aloud such items will always be dependent on the serially based non-lexical route. Method. Participants. A total of 18 undergraduate students from the University of Waterloo were each granted experimental credit towards a psychology course. Stimuli. The stimulus set consisted of the 100 monosyllabic non-words taken from Weeks, 1997, except for the items frosh and blog, which are words. These were replaced with fit and beld. This set of items, among others, see Perry and Ziegler, 2002, is known to show a letter length effect. There were an equal number of 3, 4, 5, and 6 letter strings. Apparatus. Stimuli were displayed on a 17-inch monitor and were displayed in 16-point Times New Roman font on a black background. Vocal responses were collected using a Plantronics LS1 microphone headset. Responses were recorded using DMDX software. Using this software in conjunction with Check Vocal allows one to determine response times using the waveform and hence serves to reduce measurement error associated with voice key timing. Procedure. Participants were tested individually and were seated approximately 50 centimeters from the screen. At this distance, 3-letter non-words were approximately 1.5 centimeters in length, and 6-letter non-words were approximately 3 centimeters in length. All items were centered on the screen. Participants were instructed that when a letter string appeared, their task was to pronounce it as quickly and as accurately as possible. Responses were coded offline as correct, incorrect, or mistrial. For example, no response by the experimenter. Each trial started with a fixation point. A letter string was then presented at fixation until a vocal response was detected. A set of 8 practice trials served to familiarize the participant with the task and allow the experimenter to adjust the microphone sensitivity to minimize spoiled trials. There were 4 blocks, each block containing the same 100 non-words. Each participant received a different random order of items within each block. Participants were given a self-timed break after each block. Results. Trials on which there was a mistrial, the microphone did not trigger properly, or the participant coughed or stuttered, 0.8%, or an incorrect response, 3.3%, were removed prior to response time analysis. The remaining response times were submitted to a recursive data trimming procedure using a cutoff of 2.5 standard deviations in each cell, resulting in an additional 2.1% of the response time data being removed. A 4 block 1, 2, 3, 4 times 4 letter length 3, 4, 5, 6 analysis of variance, ANOVA, was conducted on both mean response time and percentage errors data. In the subject analysis, F1, block and letter length were treated as within subject factors, whereas in the item analysis, F2, block was treated as a within items factor, and letter length was treated as a between items factor. The response time and error data for participants can be seen in Table 1. One participant's data were discarded due to a large number of errors, 21%. Response times. There was a significant main effect of block F1, 3, and 51 equals 4.1, mean squared error equals 2,739, p-value equals 0.01. F2, 3, and 288 equals 48.5, mean squared error of 292, p-value less than 0.01, such that participants responded more quickly as blocks increased. There was also a main effect of letter length in the subject analysis. F1, 3, and 51 equals 6.4, mean squared error of 999, p-value less than 0.01, such that participants took longer to respond as the number of letters in the non-word increased. But this effect was not significant in the item analysis. F2, 3, and 96 equals 1.5, mean squared error of 5,790, p-value greater than 0.05. Most critically, there was a significant block tons letter length interaction. F1, 9, and 285 equals 2.3, mean squared error of 584, p-value less than 0.05. F2, 9, and 285 equals 3.5, mean squared error of 292, p-value less than 0.05, in which the magnitude of the letter length effect gets smaller across blocks. Errors. In the subject analysis, there was no mean effect of block. F was less than 1, and no mean effect of letter length. F was 1. There was also no block times letter length interaction. F was less than 1. In the item analysis, there was a main effect of block. F2, 3, and 288 equals 2.7, mean squared error of 0.001, p-value greater than 0.05, and a main effect of letter length. F2, 3, and 96 equals 4.3, mean squared error of 0.001, p-value less than 0.01. But no block times letter length interaction. F2 was 1. Discussion. The results of experiment 1 are clear. Overall, longer letter strings took more time to read aloud than shorter ones. This replicates previous work by Weeks, 1997, as well as others. The novel result is that the effect of letter length decreased as the number of repetitions increased. This reduction in the letter length effect across blocks suggests that these letter strings come to be read, at least sometimes via the lexical route, and thus must be represented in participants' orthographic and phonological lexicons. Experiment 2. According to Scherer's 1995 self-teaching hypothesis, the formation of lexical representations requires the generation of a phonological code. Thus, repetition of a letter string in a context where a phonological code need not be generated, for example, when participants make a case decision rather than read aloud, should not lead to the formation of a lexical entry. This prediction is tested in experiment 2. Two groups of participants underwent two different training phases. Participants were presented with the same set of 50 non-words four times, i.e., 50 non-words appeared four times across four blocks, once per block. In the case decision group, participants decided whether non-words were presented in uppercase or lowercase. In the reading aloud group, participants read the non-words aloud. Following the training phase, both groups read aloud the 50 non-words. Block 5. See Figure 1 for a schematic of the experimental design. A critical test of Scherer's 1995 hypothesis comes in the comparison between the effects of repetition in the reading aloud and case decision groups. If phonological recoding is a necessary condition for the formation of lexical entries in both orthographic and phonological lexicons, then the letter length effect in block 5, following 4 blocks of reading aloud, should be smaller than the letter length effect in block 5, following 4 blocks of case decision. In contrast, if mere exposure to the letter string is sufficient to form both orthographic and phonological lexical entries, then the letter length effects in block 5 should be equivalent across the case decision and reading aloud groups. Method. Participants. A total of 40 undergraduate students from the University of Waterloo were each granted experimental credit towards a psychology course. Stimuli. The stimulus set consisted of the 50 monosyllabic 3 and 6 letter nonwords from Weeks, 1997. Each participant received a different random order of items within each block. Half the nonwords appeared in uppercase, i.e., B E Z, and half appeared in lowercase, B E Z. Whether a nonword appeared in upper or lowercase changed randomly across blocks. For the sake of simplicity, we removed the 4 and 5 letter nonwords from the previous experiment. Apparatus. The apparatus was identical to that used in experiment 1. Procedure. Participants were tested individually. In the 4 blocks of the case decision task, participants were asked to verbally identify the case in which a letter string was presented by responding upper or lower aloud. In the 4 blocks of the reading aloud task, participants were asked to read the letter string aloud. In the 5th block, the test block, all participants were instructed to read aloud the letter string. Each trial started with a fixation point. A letter string was then presented at fixation until a vocal response was detected. A set of 6 practice trials served to familiarize the participant with the task. Participants were given a self-timed break after each block. Responses were coded offline as correct, incorrect, or mistrial by the experimenter. Results. Trials on which there was a mistrial, 0.5%, or an incorrect response, 1.1%, were removed prior to response time analysis. The remaining response times were submitted to the same recursive data trimming procedure as that used in experiment 1. In the subject analysis, F1, block and letter length were treated as within subject factors, whereas in the item analysis, F2, block was treated as a within items factor, and letter length was treated as a between items factor. Mean response times and errors as a function of block, letter length, and group can be seen in Table 2. Response times and errors. A 5, block 1 to 5, times 2, letter length 3 versus 6, ANOVA, was conducted for the reading aloud group. As in experiment 1, there was a significant block times letter length interaction, in which the magnitude of the letter length effect decreased across blocks. F1, 4 and 76 equals 3.9, mean squared error equals 475, p-value less than 0.01, F2, 1 and 46 equals 42.2, mean squared error of 764, p-value less than 0.01. A parallel analysis of the errors for the subject data yielded a mean effect of letter length. F1, 1 and 19 equals 5.0, mean squared error equals 20, p-value equals 0.04, such that more errors were made on 6-letter nonwords than on 3-letter nonwords. However, there was no effect of letter length in the item data. F was less than 1. There was no letter length by block interaction in either the subject data or the item data. Fs were less than 1. We also conducted a two-group reading aloud versus case decision times two, length three versus six letters, ANOVA, with group as a between subjects factor on the data from block five. Most critically, there was a group times letter length interaction. F1, 1, and 38 equals 7.1. Mean squared error equals 787. P-value less than 0.01. F2, 1, and 92 equals 3.9. Mean squared error equals 1,028. P-value equals 0.05. Such that the size of the letter length effect for the reading aloud group, 13 milliseconds, was smaller than the size of the length effect in the case decision group, 45 milliseconds. A parallel analysis of the errors yielded a mean effect of letter length in the subject data. F1, 1, and 38 equals 4.7, mean squared error equals 20, p-value less than 0.05. And a marginal effect in the item data. F2, 1, and 92 equals 3.4, mean squared error equals 0.001, p-value equals 0.07, such that more errors were made on the six-letter stimuli than on the three-letter stimuli, but no group by letter length interaction. Fs were less than 1. On ANOVA, comparing the letter length effect on response time in block 1 of the reading aloud group with the letter length effect in block 5 of the case decision group yielded no difference. Fs were greater than 1. A 4, block 1 to 4, times 2, length 3 versus 6 letters, ANOVA, conducted for the case decision group yielded a mean effect of block. F1, 3, and 57 equals 2.9, mean squared error equals 1,534, p-value less than 0.05. F1, 3, and 138 equals 10.9, mean squared error equals 485, p-value less than 0.01. Such that case decisions were made more slowly in block 4 than in block 1. In the subject data, there was no effect of letter length. F1, 1, and 19 equals 3.6. Mean squared error equals 833. P-value greater than 0.05. But there was an effect in the item analysis. F2, 1, and 46 equals 4.4. Mean squared error equals 716. P-value less than 0.05. And no block times letter length interaction. F1, 3, and 57 was greater than 1. F2, 3, and 138 equals 1.9. Mean squared error equals 716. P-value greater than 0.05. A parallel analysis conducted on the errors yielded no mean effect of block in either the subject analysis or the items analysis. Fs were less than 1. Furthermore, there was no effect of letter length. F1, 1, and 57 equals 2.3, mean squared error equals 0.000, p-value greater than 0.05. F2, 3, and 138 equals 0.6, mean squared error equals 0.000, p-value greater than 0.05. Nor a block times letter length interaction. Fs were less than 1. Case decision task. The case decision task in experiment 2 was chosen because it does not require the generation of a phonological code. According to Scherer's 1995 self-teaching hypothesis, the generation of a phonological code is a prerequisite for the formation of a lexical entry. Our results are consistent with this prediction. It is interesting to note that many researchers believe that the generation of a phonological code occurs automatically. For example, Frost, 1998, Van Orden, Pennington, and Stone, 1990. Thus, a phonological code should have been generated in the case decision task. If this is the case, and this is not undisputed, see Reynolds and Besner, 2006, then it suggests that the automatic generation of a phonological code is not sufficient to form a lexical representation, at least in the present context. Rather, it may be that the explicit generation of a phonological code is required, though not necessarily allowed. Silent reading would probably also work. See Bowie and Muller, 2005. The idea that a phonological code is automatically generated in the case decision task may serve as a tentative explanation of the small letter length effect found in the item, but not subject, analysis of the case decision task. Another curious result in the case decision task is the main effect of Locke, wherein participants got slower as the experiment progressed. This effect may reflect a decrease in arousal given the simple nature of the case decision task. For example, Mackworth, 1968. General discussion. The results of these two experiments are consistent with the argument that the generation of a phonological code leads to the formation of both orthographic and phonological lexical entries. This transition from reading via a non-lexical route to reading via the lexical route, i.e., via the creation of lexical entries, was indexed by a reduction in the magnitude of the letter length effect. When participants repeatedly read aloud non-words, the letter length effect was reduced. This transition from reading via a non-lexical route to reading via the lexical route appears critically dependent on repeated reading aloud as opposed to mere repeated exposure to the letter string, given that repeated case decisions in Experiment 2 did not reduce the letter length effect when participants were asked to read these items aloud in Block 5. These results thus provide strong support for Scher's 1995 self-teaching hypothesis, and at the same time provide a novel, conceptually grounded means through which to further assess issues surrounding the formation of lexical representations. The formation of a lexical entry. The reduction in the letter length effect is taken here to reflect the formation of a lexical entry. Each reading of a nonword allows for the establishment and strengthening of a whole item print-to-sound association, creation of orthographic and phonological entries, along with a connection between them. This allows for reading to occur via the faster lexical route and also allows reading to be less influenced by letter length. This latter fact makes it difficult to account for our results in terms of repetition priming at an input or output stage. In the context of dual route models like DRC and CDP+, in order for the length effect to be reduced or eliminated, a lexical entry would have to have been formed. That said, the present results do reflect a form of repetition priming in the sense that the repeated presentation of a nonword leads to a change in the orthographic and phonological structure of the word processing system. This account is consistent with results reported by Zoccolotti et al., 2005, demonstrating that the letter length effect on reading aloud words decreased from first to third grade. Martins and De Jong, 2008, reported that repetition reduced the size of the letter length effect for non-words in dyslexic children. However, they were unable to find a letter length effect in their control group, i.e., an age match group, despite numerous demonstrations to that effect. For example, Weeks, 1997, and here. Lexical representations in the DRC and CDP+ models are abstract in the sense that a single canonical representation exists for each word in the lexicon. This view can be contrasted with representations that are episodic, such that each word has a separate representation for each encounter. The present results are, of course, consistent with such an episodic lexicon. For example, see Goldinger, 1998. Framed in terms of Logan's 1988 instance theory, the present results reflect a gradual transition from algorithmic processing to direct retrieval. That is, the present result can be understood as reflecting a unique illustration of this transition because they not only demonstrate the characteristic speed-up associated with repetition, but also demonstrate the shift from performance dominated by algorithmic processing affected by letter length to direct retrieval not affected by letter length. In the context of Logan's 1988 instance theory, the formation of a lexical entry arises via the effect of repetition. Specifically, the repeated presentation of a nonword would lead to the formation of instances in memory that would race with the length-sensitive algorithm. As the number of instances, repetitions, increases, the likelihood of the algorithm winning would decrease, and as such, the length effect would decrease. If an account is to be developed in terms of episodic retrieval, a mechanism through which a letter length effect could emerge, for example, the first time a letter string is encountered, needs to be postulated. In Logan's 1988 theory, the algorithm would need to produce a letter length effect. The computational models of reading discussed here provide such a mechanism. Serial sublexical spelling sound conversion. Time course of the formation of a lexical entry. The account provided here for the letter length by repetition interaction suggests that a lexical entry can be formed very rapidly. Specifically, after only a few repetitions, i.e. 3 or 4, and a short amount of time, i.e. less than 30 minutes, we have provided evidence that a lexical entry can be formed. It remains to be seen how resilient these representations would be over time. The rapid formation of a lexical entry, as seen here, appears inconsistent with a report by Dumay and Gaskell, 2007, suggesting that a night's sleep was required to form a lexical entry. However, there are a number of potentially important differences between the Dumay and Gaskell study and the present investigation. First, Dumay and Gaskell were studying the formation of a lexical entry following spoken word presentation, whereas the present work concerned the formation of a lexical entry following visual word presentation. Second, Dumay and Gaskell used lexical competition in the context of a pause detection task, where we used letter length effects in the context of reading aloud. And Dumay and Gaskell was a study of spoken word recognition, whereas the present investigation was a study of reading. The different presentation modalities, indices of lexicalization, and/or tasks could be responsible for the differences in results. For example, the presence or absence of letter length effects in reading aloud may be a more sensitive measure of presence in the lexicon than lexical competition in spoken word recognition. Consistent with this claim, i.e. that the differences across modalities accounts for the differences observed in the time to acquire lexical entries, Bowers, Davis, and Hanley, 2005, demonstrated lexicalization on the day of training, though these effects increased after sleep. Future work directly comparing the formation of lexical entries across modalities and the relative sensitivity of different indices is needed before any strong inferences can be drawn. An alternative account. An alternative account of the non-word letter length by repetition interaction that has been suggested to us by colleagues attributes it to an improvement in the efficiency of sublexical processing. Repetition may simply strengthen the connections between particular graphemes and particular phonemes. This account strikes us as strained to say the least, given the vast experience in translating graphemes to phonemes that university-level readers bring to the present experiments. Conclusion. The present experiments demonstrate that one way a letter string can come to be represented in the orthographic and phonological lexicons is through repeated reading aloud. This demonstration, along with the novel use of the letter length effect as an index of the transition from sublexical to lexical processing, opens up numerous avenues for future research.